Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Number one.
All right, we're getting right into it. First question on five on it. Did you like seeing players wearing their traditional uniforms in the All-Star game this year as opposed to those special All-Star jerseys we've seen in recent years?
Yes. In fact, it was so natural that I didn't even notice at first. Before then, I was like, oh, good. They're not wearing the uniforms that were created for the All-Star game. And by the way, I don't know how many times I did this, but every time I saw the American League one, why did I think it said AI? Every single time.
That's the font, right?
Something about it. I was like, oh, AI. And I'm like, artificial intelligence, Allen Iverson, American League, what? I'm watching a baseball game. Didn't even put two and two together because it was that big and it was that obtrusive on the jersey. And I understand people still liked it, but you want to be able to see your people in their uniforms. And that's why I was able to identify late in the game that it got way too royally, you know, around like inning seven or so for the American League. There's just too much Royals gray and blue out there. It's on the mound. They're running bases.
Well, the problem is there were no Royals starters, so all four of their people came off the bench. And so, yeah, they can all be in at the same time. So if you got four out of nine players for one team, it's going to be blank-y. And this time it was royally.
Teamy, royally.
To your point about the AI, so what the problem with the jerseys is they used a lowercase cursive font. So the A is like a lowercase A into a L, but the L doesn't have a loop.
The loop, yeah. So it just looked like AI.
Yeah, and there's no dot, obviously, at the top of the I, but it looks like an undotted I as opposed to an A and an actual L. Why not go with the capital? But I guess they didn't go with the capital for the NL either. But yeah, it was my answer to this is very simple. When they went to the All-Star jerseys, I said, why? It's now harder for people who only follow their team and the teams they face all the time to understand who everybody is easily from a wide shot when you're looking at things. Now that they're in their jerseys, you get a quick identifier of, oh, that's so-and-so from whatever team, especially if they're a breakout player, first-time All-Star. It just helps with a branding purpose to familiarize yourself with the teams. Now, the good news is they still sold the All-Star jerseys. Like the light blue, or I guess more of an electric blue for the NL, and then the darker blue for the AL.
It was like a navy for the AI.
You're just gonna call it the AI?
Yeah, it was silly.
So for the American League, and the jerseys were very popular. It's what we saw at the Home Run Derby. So popular, in fact, that the Shohei Ohtani and Paul Skeens jerseys, they sold out, and they were making fresh ones at the shop. They're on site for people to buy. That's how you know your game is doing well.
Well, and I was also going to say, like, the pivotal moments, too, in the game. Like, when you're thinking about PCA nearly colliding with Kyle Tucker, you're like, oh, there they are. Two Cubs in the outfield. Looky here. It's just a way to self-identify. Or when you're watching Kyle Schwarber hit bombs in the Phillies jersey, you're thinking to yourself, he's wearing pinstripes, and he should be wearing blue, not red, and this is a real buzzkill. And then you see him go down to one knee, and I'm like, awesome.
He was,
but
down
at the same time, Phillies.
Well, yeah, he was doing the Philly thing. He was down on bended knee, you know? Boys to men.
But it helps just hammer the point home. Who's on your team? Who's no longer on your team? And then who's on somebody else's team?
And who's on somebody else's team that you wish were on your team?
That too.
Eugenio Suarez? Anyone?
Yeah,
anyone?
And you know, the light blue trim on those Diamondbacks jerseys just really popped, didn't it? It was a nice little accent color.
I just like the regular uniforms. They are great. Everybody gets a hat, and then the jersey, if you want to buy it, we'll make some for you. But I was always a guy, if I was a jersey buyer, I'd want one with like the all-star patch. That's all I need. Regular jersey, all-star patch, we're good.
I love the gold for the World Series. That's the special one to me. That's the money.
Number two.
After seeing how PCA Pete Crow Armstrong handled himself at the All-Star game, could we see him as the face of baseball one day?
I think this question is important to note. It's could, and based on how we saw him on this big stage. So when you consider all those things, you're basically asking, is it possible? Yes, it is possible. And even the announced team, you heard Joe Davis talk about it when it came to the cheers that PCA was receiving, the crowd that he got, how that was something that had been mounting, the fan support. So I feel like this is definitely something where you're asking that question because he continues to show up on big stages, whether it's entertained with his play in the outfield, whether it is amazed with his plays, you know, when he's hitting the ball, you know, where he hits the ball from. It's a highlight reel made to happen. So I think all of those things, when you consider them, of course, he's a guy who can be a face of baseball. Yes, I never think there's just one, by the way. That's never really how I feel about it. So in that scope, I think the answer is yes.
I think the answer is yes, simply because when you think about faces of baseball, who really comes to mind? Who jumps out? I think Skeens is a guy that comes to people's mind. Ohtani, obviously, is a guy who comes to people's minds. Aaron Judge falls in that category as well. But when you're going down the list of people, when you say Major League Baseball, stars, go, who else comes to mind? I think there are plenty of spots open and available, and PCA, with the right type of year, could jump into one of those spots. And the All-Star game was a good jumping off point. It wasn't a ceiling point. It wasn't like he did something in that All-Star game that says, that's the guy right there. But he certainly is involved in the conversation of next up, on deck, if you will.
Number three.
Which young player on the White Sox is most likely to finish their career with the most All-Star appearances? Good luck.
Wow, not good luck. Like, is it that bad?
It's a very hard question because who's going to be in the All-Star multiple times?
But also, can we just... Can we go back to the segment where we heard Steve Sparky Pfeiffer talk about Andrew Vaughn? I'm like, I know this hope for that offense. I know it well. It was something where I was laughing at myself and the hopes and my dreams, and I felt seen. For me, it's probably one of the catchers, is it not? That's one of the positions where, especially, you have it's hard to find talent in the American League in catching. So I feel like in this case, it could be potentially Edgar Caro or Kyle Teal. I feel like between the two of them, one of them has the potential to make the All-Star team multiple times when you consider how young they are in their careers. So that was my initial thought. I'm sorry, Miguel Vargas. I'm just not there yet. But when it comes to the position that the both of them play and you know, who they were as prospects and how they've been brought up and what you've seen so far, the potential, I narrowed it down to one of the two.
What if I told you there was a player on the White Sox?
What if I told you?
That had a 0.7 war in just 28 at-bats. Would you be happy with that? Would you feel like he was a productive player?
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Would Steve Sparky Pfeiffer would be hoping for his offense on the
world?
I'm kidding. It's so good.
So Colson Montgomery is almost at one on the WAR scale in 28 at bats. I think he's the guy. I think it is going to be Colson Montgomery. He's been through a lot. He's 23 years old. I think Colson Montgomery's about to show out. He's gotten off to a decent start at the shortstop position. He has impressed me, and all I had heard about him is how unimpressive he had been on his climb to the big leagues. But
it was a path. It was a path filled with twists and turns and question marks.
But if you're going to throw up a 0.7 war in five games played, I'm with it.
So I guess part of my question with this is, like, is there anyone currently on the White Sox you could see being an every year All-Star or being someone that has that high of a ceiling?
I just told you, Colson Montgomery.
Okay, why are you still that? Is that a subliminal Miguel Vargas?
No. Like, I mean, like, I think
he's really about
be
Miguel
great.
Vargas.
Like,
it's
about his love for Miguel Vargas.
But it's more of like, I'm trying to assess the entire White Sox roster right now. Is they're in this rebuild, and we're seeing some young players come up right now. But is there any of them that, like you say, Colson Montgomery? Is there any of them we could be like that could be the face of the White Sox for years to come?
My man, we have been wondering who the face of the White Sox has been for many years. It was Jose Abreu, but we were still trying to figure it out at the time because there were options.
Tim, like, Anderson, don't forget about him.
But that's the point, is we didn't really ever have a face. You know, there was no one definite, like, defined. You couldn't put it on one dude. Ray, don't you feel this
when
way? Especially in Bernstein and Rahimi era.
Yeah, absolutely.
This was something we talked about a lot.
And you bring up Tim Anderson, and it was looking like Tim Anderson was on that trajectory.
Changed
especially
the game.
With the corn game.
Ray, you know, Ray, I was about to say, I was in Iowa when he hit the home run.
Did you stay for the whole game?
Because
if so, you're better than other score hosts.
Wait, Chris Ronji left early?
That was the whole origin of the worst phrase I've ever heard in my life.
What was the phrase?
Well, it wasn't okay, daddy gang, so that narrows it down.
Was the word daddy in there?
Daddy needs a sleep.
That's why he left.
Daddy couldn't get a hotel? Like, what are you talking about
daddy
here?
Daddy needs a sleep.
I stayed in a hotel out there. I didn't drive back that night.
But I think Tim Anderson was on that trajectory after that game.
But that was the height of his
so much momentum. He was even in the Dairy Queen commercial.
Yes, change the game, which then turned into make the game great again.
Layla, go ahead. Call me daddy.
That was at the height right there. That was the summit for Tim Anderson, unfortunately. And the low point, as we know, was when he decided he wanted to square up.
Jose Ramirez.
Squabble up. Put up his dukes. Oh, however you want to say it. My man fell down hard.
That was so embarrassing.
Tim Glassjaw Anderson. And that's, I don't say that as
glass
a point
jaw.
To make fun of him. Bro, did you not display a glass jaw?
The part that, the thing about that is too, you talk about squaring up. He was the first one to square up. This is why it's so embarrassing. He started the square up. He basically started the fight and got
whooped. Who ended it?
Jose Ramirez.
Ramirez said, you try to put on for your city? Let me show you how I put on for my city.
Jose Ramirez, you should take him seriously just walking down the street because, well, he's wildly successful. But also, do you remember we all are watching Jose Ramirez on deck in the game against the Cubs and we're like, uh-oh, something could go horribly wrong here. Why you didn't think that in the moment when it was happening, knowing you've seen him a million times at that point being in the Central, I don't know.
Sad.
Number four.
After the All-Star game, the Fox Sports broadcast crew shared their World Series predictions. This was Derek Jeter's prediction.
It really is unfair. Last year, I picked the Baltimore Orioles to go to the World Series. And hold on. You picked Boston to go to the World Series.
Well, you know.
But the reason why I picked them is I was looking forward to the trade deadline, and Baltimore had a stacked minor league system. I thought they were going to make a move. They didn't do it. They didn't win. So this year, I am going with the New York Yankees. Brian Cashman. The Yankees are going to beat the Cubs in the World Series.
Whoa.
I'm going with the Yankees because Cashman basically said he's all in. So I expect the Yankees to do something at the trade deadline.
This is 5 On It with Raheemy and Harris. That was Derek Jeter on the Fox Sports post-game show for the All-Star game. So I ask you, Layla and Marshall, what is your World Series matchup prediction? How about your prediction to win the World Series?
So I also was a premature World Series predictor like Derek Jeter. It was 2 years ago that I predicted that the Yankees would go to the World Series and that at the time they would face the Padres. And it was similar thinking, really, to Derek Jeter, as I tend to do. You know, I think a lot like Derek Jeter. So point being, Padres, I figured they were in go-for-it mode. They were wildly motivated by the division they were in. Made sense as to thinking they would get another move. They got enough superstars. And then with the Yankees, they ended up being almost, you know, they got close last year, of course, to winning the World Series. All they needed was Juan Soto. Oh, I just needed Juan Soto for that prediction to come true. I'm sorry, what's his contract again? So, all of that said, I think I have to go with what I initially predicted at the beginning of the year, which, in the lamest prediction ever, was Dodgers Yankees.
Oh, you're just going right back to the well.
No, I mean, it was, but at the beginning of this past year, this season, my initial, like, I don't even know if I said it on the air, my personal World Series prediction to myself, I was like, probably Dodgers Yankees. And it's lame. It's lame as hell.
I don't think it's lame.
But it's just based on the talent and money, really.
I'm not necessarily a believer in the Yankees. Now, listen, before I make this prediction, I reserve the right to change this prediction on August 1st after all the dust has settled. Because
do you know how this job works? They're like, remember that time you said this thing?
That's why I'm giving
you should
the
get
disclaimer.
Fired for saying this thing.
That's why I'm giving the disclaimer. Because a lot can happen between now and the July 31st trade deadline.
We should stone you in the town square.
Please don't do that. Even pebbles would hurt. I got sensitive skin. I got good skin, but it's sensitive skin. Listen, as it stands today, here's what should happen. The World Series should be the Chicago Cubs. Did you hear that part?
The Pittsburgh Steelers? Aaron Rodgers going to the Super Bowl?
No, Chicago Cubs. I didn't say Chicago Bears. I said Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are a type of bear, but they are cubby bears. Chicago Cubs, they will take on the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, let's go. Game on.
He was waiting on that so hard.
I don't believe
game
it.
Game on. Bring it.
Because I think the Tigers and the Cubs are going to make moves, but I could be wrong. But if they make the moves, I really do believe the Cubs pitching is going to do what needs to be done. They're going to get more offensive help. They're going to get there. And I think the Dodgers are... I think they can get the Dodgers.
The Yankees needed Aaron Judge and Juan Soto. Like, keep that in mind.
I understand.
To get to the World Series, they needed Aaron Judge and Juan Soto.
Other contenders include...
And Jose Ramirez is in the ALCS, by the way, just in case we're keeping track.
In my eyes, I could see the Astros getting there with Yordan Alvarez's return. And I could also see the Boston Red Sox just completely continue to go flame on, winners of their last 10. But as of right now, I like the Tigers, and I like the Cubs, and I like the Cubs with Craig Counsell's ability now, switch up his lineup, get lefty ready, to handle business.
I hate my lamey-lame prediction about it, but...
It's okay. You can change it if you want.
It's going to change for me.
Oh, okay.
My lamey-lame prediction, though, was indeed just the two biggest market teams squaring off. I know. I'm sorry.
Well, the thing about that is, the scary thing, as we know, is the trade deadline. As you know, you talked, Marshall, about the Cubs and the Tigers, but what are the Yankees going to add at the deadline? And that's going to be the thing.
It's not.
That's what
Derek
Jeter told me.
It's not. It's the Dodgers. Like, every time I look up a Cubs possible trade target,
the Dodgers
like,
also want
the
them.
The Dodgers are also interested in this player, and I'm like, oh God, again.
Yep.
Number five. Last question. 2 minute drill here on Five on It, because you know who we have next.
Brian Urlacher.
We have him next. Fifth question. Life question. If you were to be awarded to the All-Star team for any activity, mundane life skill, or hobby, what All-Star team would you be a part of?
Hand washing dishes. I do it all the time. I tried to fill my dishwasher. I couldn't do it. It was really bothering me. I needed those dishes clean right away. One person. I also wash dishes for many people. It's hand washing dishes, and it's not even close. And then I wonder why my nails break.
Okay, that was a very interesting answer. I was just talking to my friend yesterday about how hand washing dishes is underrated, and the time as a child I complained about washing dishes, I could have just washed the dishes.
Exactly.
It's crazy how quickly you can wash dishes.
And everything is on the top rack. Like, everything. Well, then what the hell is the point of the bottom rack? And I do it better than a machine.
I really do believe that Layla is onto something here, but that's not my answer. My answer is this. David Hall, where you at? Come see me at the Scrabble, yo. Come get whooped. Also, Two-ply was that's Matt Spiegel when I talk about Tecmo. But Tecmo be the other thing. Tecmo, Super Bowl, All-Star. I've won tournaments.
I think you just want to beat all of our coworkers. I think that's what you want to do.
They want to be good at the things I'm good at. So let's ride. Scrabble and Tecmo, Super Bowl.
Fair enough.
I can peel a clementine in one peel. That's mine.
That's really good.
I'm good at catching things as they're falling. Put me in the All-Star game for that event.
You could
coffee
you
mug. Might,
you could safe. Be a Packers receiver at this point.
Sparky,
where you at?
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.